Welcome to the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, a show to help you shift away from the diet and dogma towards a whole and healthy life.
We're your hosts, Laura and Kezia, health coaches, cake lovers, and body positive warriors. Let's get the show started.
So in this week's episode, I am going to be interviewing the lovely Jenna from Balanced Belly. She's a health blogger. She's training in nutritional therapy. She is living with Crohn's and has got a book coming out super soon, which we'll hear more about. But in this episode, we're just going to be having a good old chat, really, about all things food and gut health and any other rabbit holes that we end up going down. Because I have a tendency of doing that. So welcome, Jenna, to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Ah, you're so welcome. So tell us a little bit about you, Jenna. Where are you in the world? What's your kind of life story in 10 seconds? Maybe 20 seconds.
I'm a health blogger. I live in Warwickshire near the West Midlands. And I kind of write about all sorts, really. I write predominantly about gut health because that's my interest. I have Crohn's disease, so a lot of the site is about managing that and managing my gut health. But I'm also just finishing my nutritional therapy qualification as well. So I'm just really interested in sharing, you know, nutrition advice and tips. And hopefully once that qualification is finished, I'll be able to offer some more services as well.
Fab. And so before we dive into some of the meat of the episode, tell us an important thing is, what did you have for breakfast today?
I actually haven't had that much of a breakfast yet. I've started to have bone broth of a morning when, you know, it's a bit, when you've got gut issues, sometimes it can be difficult to have like a full breakfast. So just had a cup of bone broth, which ties in well with what we're going to talk about today. And then probably just about 12 o'clock, I'll have something a bit more substantial. But yeah, sometimes I'll have a green juice, but today bone broth, it's just a lot more warm and nourishing. And it's just for one of those days where you feel like you can't stomach a lot. That's kind of what I tend to reach for.
Nice. And for those of you that want to know more about bone broth, one of our previous episodes, I think it's episode number 4 or 5, we do a whole podcast all about bone broth. So if you're like, what? Why is Shana having bone broth for breakfast? That's so weird. Go back, listen to the podcast, and I'm pretty sure you'll become a bone broth convert pretty soon. So, and do you have any kind of daily practices or rituals that you use to anchor your day, Jenna?
Yeah, the main thing is just I've got two dogs and I always make sure I start the day just having time with them, walking. I've moved to a really beautiful little area of the countryside with a lovely high street with a old-fashioned church. So I just like to start the day with the two dogs. We walk up to the church. It's one of those places where everyone stops you and chats to you, which is really important when you're working from home. You can sometimes feel a little bit like isolated. So it's not anything fancy. It's just taking my two dogs, spending some time with them, getting a bit of fresh air, and getting out in the countryside.
Oh, nice. I've been on a mission, a kind of covert mission, for probably about a year to try and persuade my husband that we should get a dog.
Oh, you should.
I'm totally like, literally, if people listening to this looked at my iMessages to my husband throughout the day, every couple of days I send him pictures of random cute dogs I find on the internet. And I'm like, can we get a dog yet? So it's not really that covert. It's actually pretty obvious. I'm like, can we get a dog yet? Can we get a dog yet? And we live in a flat. I live in Scotland, so in a big old tenement flat. So it's quite spacious.
Yeah.
And we do have a garden, but we're on the third floor. And I live literally right next to a huge kind of, you know, big park that,
yeah.
So I go for a walk every single morning and I always feel like naked because I don't have a dog. I just say hi to all the dog walkers. Like, hi, good morning, good morning. And I feel like people look at me thinking, where's your dog? And I'm like, no, I'm just walking. Just walking because it's good for me. And so yeah, I'm hoping to get a dog. What kind of dogs do you have?
Oh, I've got two toy poodles. When I lived in China, I mean, I could spend the whole podcast talking about this, but when I lived in China, because I used to live abroad a few years ago, I ended up with two toy poodles. One of them is a blind rescue toy poodle. And then the other, yeah, Bella, is not blind, but very adventurous and very energetic. So they're very cute and fit in my hand and very energetic. But yeah, they just bring so much joy to my life. And especially when living abroad, like when you're a little bit homesick, they really help me so much with homesick and giving you a sense of purpose again, like when you work from home most of the time, it can be like the hours can just eat away, you can't, then it's like 5 o'clock and you've not moved. So I think they help so much with getting outside and just having some companionship. And you need to get a dog yet.
Yes, no, I'm going to make my husband listen to this podcast, because poodles don't shed a lot of hair, do they?
No, they don't shed any hair, so they're really easy in that respect. They don't shed any hair at all, yeah, so they're really easy to maintain. Yeah.
Right. I'm gonna stalk you on Instagram and get pictures of your dog and show them to my husband.
I actually started an Instagram just for my dog.
You did? Oh, what is it? What's the handle?
It's called A Pair of Poodles, and my husband says I'm so sad starting an Instagram just for my dogs, but they're just really photogenic, and I thought I'm just putting them on Facebook and no one wants to see 100 photos of my dogs on Facebook, so I started my own Instagram for them last week.
Well, you're going to gain a new follower, Jenna. I am going to be, and I'm probably going to be sending my husband Joe pictures of your poodles on a regular basis, being like, look, because I'm like, we should get a small dog, not one that sheds a lot of hair.
Exactly, they're perfect for that.
Yeah, okay, right, that's sorted. But before we digress too much into the world of dogs, which I do have a tendency of doing, tell us a little bit, Jenna. Obviously, we know that you have Crohn's, but tell us, just go into detail a little bit more about your own health journey. How did you know you had Crohn's? Where did it all begin? And what is it, where you are currently with your health and your own health journey?
Yeah, so, my health issues started when I was about 16, which I think, you know, is a really stressful period for anyone, studying with exams and lots of life changes, and just felt I couldn't really put my finger on it, really. It was just feeling a little bit unwell all of the time, you know. It wasn't drastic, it was just every day just not feeling quite right, you know, tired, wanting to nap. If we went on a car journey, I'd always fall asleep in the car, you know, a little bit lightheaded. Obviously there's, you know, gut issues that come with that, but Crohn's isn't just about having an upset stomach or a bad stomach. You know, most of the time, you know, my gut might have, because I was fairly healthy with what I ate, most of the time my gut wasn't terrible, you know, I wasn't in agony, but just niggly, you know, might feel a bit bloated, might feel uncomfortable, tired. So just kind of lived with that for about 10 years, just not feeling right, but nobody could really put their finger on what was wrong because it wasn't, you know, severe enough. So anyway, eventually I ended up moving to China, which I mentioned a little bit earlier, and pretty embarrassing story. I moved to China, I was a teacher in China, and again, I wasn't feeling right in China, but obviously it's a new place, new food. And I was at a parents' evening with the Chinese parents, and I just was sick. I vomited in front of the parents into a waste paper bin in the classroom. But they just looked at each other as if to say, like, is this what British people
do? Yes, is this what British teachers do?
So I was mid-conversation. I was like, blah, 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 I'm really impressed with your son. And then I just stopped and vomited into the wastebasket. So my boss was like, look, you didn't seem right, like this isn't normal. So they kind of whisked me off to hospital, and eventually from that ended up being diagnosed with Crohn's, which was, you know, really scary being away from home. And because, like, if you know, if you're unwell for long enough, it just kind of becomes your new normal. So it was so strange to think that what I thought was just kind of normal for me had actually been Crohn's. And obviously it's been about 10 years at that point undiagnosed, so it was more serious than I'd anticipated, because like anything, if you leave it for 10 years, it's not going to be pleasant. So so it was definitely a difficult time, but I couldn't speak any Chinese and I didn't attempt to learn Chinese because it's very difficult. So, and that was all, it was almost a blessing being diagnosed in China, because I had to take on the research. I had to do my own research. I had to communicate a lot of the time with the doctors, and obviously the healthcare would be very different then. So they would just text me to say, you know, your blood is this level, and I wouldn't know what that meant. I had to do the research around it. So in a way, it really encouraged me to be like a self-advocate for my own health, because no one else was going to do it, you know. There was a huge language barrier, and I kind of needed to learn everything. Crohn's is quite rare in China as well, so there wasn't patients to talk to. The doctor maybe saw like one case a year, and so it was one of the most difficult times of my life. But in reflection, it really encouraged me to take my health into my own hands, because I didn't really have a choice, because I didn't really have a support system like I do now living in England. So from that, kind of started to eat healthier again and kind of look after myself. But it was only, we travelled to Bali and I just fell in love with Bali.
Yes, I went to Bali last year.
Oh, it's amazing.
Seriously, I kind of, people always go on about Bali and I was like, eh, whatever. I absolutely loved it. It was one of my favourite places we travelled to last year and I want to go back there. For sure.
It's just the way of life, isn't it? And it was just, I was on medication still for my Crohn's and I was just figuring, like, trying little bits, you know, trying a bit without gluten, trying a bit without dairy. But I decided while I was in Bali, I was just going to be gluten and dairy free, but just because I was just going to stick to all of the natural food, which I'm sure you, the food's just amazing there, isn't it? Anyway, it's so fresh. And so, that was just the best I'd ever felt in my life. So I started to think that, I mean, obviously the medication was playing a part in it, but you know, I was on the medication in China and I wasn't feeling as well. So that kind of, the whole way of life resonated with me, just like fresh food, walking, sunshine, yoga and so on. So after that's when I came back from Bali, that's when I came back home and decided to start my blog and started to eat healthy. It wasn't, you know, now I'm in England, obviously I have a lot more control of it. In China it's difficult to say you're gluten-free or dairy-free because obviously, you know, I would just try to eat as naturally as I could really. Then I started to do my nutrition qualification and anyway, eventually about 18 months ago I came back to England and that's when I started to, you know, really take my studying more seriously and take my diet more seriously. And I've got myself to a point of where I'm not on, I am on some medication still, but the medication is a lot less severe. And I would never tell someone to stop taking medication. But for me, you know, eating as well as I can, looking after myself and being kind to myself is what kind of manages the day to day. And it's only like last week we moved house. And typically when you're moving house, you're grabbing food and, you know, not sleeping. And I was absolutely fine until we kind of moved and everything was settled. And then the next day, I was just horrific. I was felt really poorly and I knew that was because I just hadn't taken care of myself. And it wasn't just one food or, you know, the glass of wine that I did have when I moved in. But just the fact that it was all too much. I wasn't sleeping. I was stressful. I was eating erratically. So I knew straight away, pajamas on, bone broth on, sit down and just, and now I got myself back to normal again. So it's
I love that. No, it's so good. I love a couple of things you're talking about. There's the whole thing about being your own health advocate. I think that's really huge. I think we've kind of, it's very easy. And I know I was very much like this at the start of my health journey, just to expect someone to fix me. Mm-hmm. So either a doctor, physio, even a nutritional therapist or a health coach or whatever, like was actually learning that we need to be our own health advocate and actually our health is our responsibility. Definitely. Like stuff happens that is out of our control for sure. Like we can't control everything, but we are the only ones that can be responsible for our health, for the choices that we make and for how empowered and educated we are around it. And I just think that's, I really love what you said about that. I think it's really huge that people listening, you know, if you've been diagnosed with like an autoimmune condition like Crohn's, or maybe it's your thyroid, or maybe you're just tired, or you constantly have low iron and you have no idea why because you eat spinach like it's coming out of your ears, then actually getting educated, and that doesn't just mean Googling the hell out of everything, that just, you know, just finding some good sources from people that, you know, base their education on research, you know, it's not just popping out of their heads, and just becoming empowered around that, I think is really, really important. And I think that's what a lot of what Laura and I would do with this podcast, you know, it's about mindset, it's about body positivity, but it's helping people to take responsibility for their health. And when you do that, that's often when lots of stuff shifts and change. And I and same with medication as well. I think it's really easy in the health world for people to be very much like, get healthy and don't ever use medication. And I think there's such it's not a you choose health and holistic health or functional approach to health and then you ditch medication. Like it's about integration. Like that's what I think is really important. It sounds like you've got a really good balance for that. And so in terms of, do you feel like there was a specific turning point when it comes to your health? Was it when you came back home? Or was there a specific time when you were like, okay, right, I started to feel a lot better now, or things have really started to shift? And what caused that to happen?
Yeah, it was definitely Bali. I wish I was sponsored by the Bali.
I know it does. It's like sponsored by Bartley Tourism Office.
It was a short trip, but it just really resonated with me as a trip, because, you know, it's not necessarily a spiritual place. It's just so relaxing, isn't it? Like the temples and the different, and then Ubud, you know, I just felt like people were on my wavelength, and I just very much got a sense of purpose from it, which my family feel like I'm mad when I talk about purpose, but I do think, you know, that there is a sense of purpose, what's driving you and what you want to achieve. And Bali, I just really connected with that in terms of, you know, the people, the way of life, and it just kind of educated me a little bit about how well you can feel when you just kind of take a step back and relax and just go back to basics. I think nutrition has got not too complicated. I mean, obviously nutrition is a complicated topic, but I mean health has gotten so complicated with all these different supplements and powders. But I didn't take any of those in Bali. I just ate the fresh fish and the vegetables and juice and walked along the beach, and that was kind of enough almost.
Yeah, I love that, because it's so easy. I often find that with a lot of my clients, sometimes people, with a couple of them, I just have, they're always just looking for the supplement, and they're always emailing me like, I read this supplement, like, green tea extract, I read this, blah, blah, blah. And supplements, like, by all means, can be really helpful. I've used them, and you sometimes do need them, especially for specific health conditions, but no supplement is a magic pill or bullet. And supplements should only come when you know exactly what's at the root cause of something, and therefore how to treat it. Whereas what you're saying, like just going to Bali, which was time in the sunshine, rest, sleep, a slower pace, I imagine, like eating good, whole, natural, real food, de-stressing, like all those things are all free. I mean, you don't all have to go to Bali, but guys, if you get the opportunity, seriously, get your asses there. It's awesome. But you know, that you can do that in the comfort of your own home. Like you said, the other day you were a bit sick after moving. Pajama, broth time, dog time, chill. It's so, like, those things, we so often bypass them and look for a supplement instead, whereas that stuff, honestly, especially around gut health, can just make the biggest of difference. I say this to my clients all the time. I'm like, you could be eating perfectly and taking all the perfect, in, you know, air quotes, supplements, but if your life is constantly on the go, constantly stressful, you're never outside, you are stressed out, and you're not sleeping, it doesn't really matter. Like, you're not going to feel better until, and I think it's those foundational things. So in terms of your gut health, obviously that's a journey you've been on and are still on, aren't we all? With all of us with our gut health issues, I'm still very much on a journey with that as well. What would you say are some of your main principles that really support gut health?
Definitely the bone broth, which I've talked about before. That's kind of key for me, just because it's such an easy, and it's very nutrient dense, but it's also just so easy to digest. So definitely centering, you know, around easy digest kind of foods. Probiotics, it's a discovery for me, because, you know, it's the more you delve into them, the more complicated it can be. And it's kind of, I don't think I would advise anyone to just kind of take one probiotic supplement, because it's a complicated issue. But at the same point, you don't want to get, I've been offered things like, you know, you can get gut testing to see different types of bacteria in your body. But then I feel like you don't want to go down that road and kind of become a bit obsessive about it and that kind of thing. So I try to, sauerkraut is something that I feel is beneficial for me. So, because obviously some of the probiotics are dairy based and I don't consume dairy. So sauerkraut is something I try to stick to. And you can actually just drink the juice if you can't tolerate the actual sauerkraut. So I always just encourage people, even if you just have like half a teaspoon of a morning, then a teaspoon, it's just a good way of getting some goodness into you. Gluten, I mean, I know it's trendy not to eat gluten at the moment. It seems a bit faddy, but gluten and dairy are the things that I've cut out, and there just seem to be a link. I do some blog posts on my blog about how it's linked to gut health, but, you know, there are studies that are suggesting that, you know, gluten and dairy, if your gut is impaired and you have autoimmune conditions, that, you know, it might be wise to kind of not cut them out completely, but just kind of, I always say see a dietitian or see a qualified practitioner, but experiment with that and try and understand what kind of impact it might have on you. So that's important to me. But really just eating as naturally as possible and eating, you know, as unprocessed as possible. You know, I kind of went to gluten-free bread and I realized that actually that still wasn't 100% working for me. I was overdoing it on gluten-free products and bread. There's so many out there, it's so tempting to just grab them.
I know it is. But they're often filled with lots of soy and other processed stuff and sugar often.
Yeast, which I don't think I do great with either. So I try and limit that and just, like I say, eat as naturally as possible and kind of naturally free from, as opposed to, you know, the supermarket aisles.
I know, because sometimes they're gross. I remember once treating myself to some gluten-free bourbons and I took them home. This was years ago. And it was literally like eating dirt.
Yeah.
It's like, this is disgusting. And the ingredients were awful in it. But I think those principles are great. I think bone broth is a great, I describe bone broth a lot to people as like, if you have got gut health issues, or especially if you've got autoimmune issues, whether it's Crohn's or whether it's things like Hashimoto's or even eczema and things like that, those are still an autoimmune condition as well. For those of you that aren't sure of what that is, it's basically, on a very basic term, this isn't a scientific term, it's basically when your body starts to fight itself. So you produce certain kind of responses within the body that actually attack your body instead of help it. And it kind of, it's like your body gets a little bit overzealous in protecting you, so that it actually often ends up harming you. That's not the scientific, or, you know, the BNF is not going to describe it that way, but in a very basic term, that's roughly what it is. So that's what an autoimmune condition is, the body kind of turning on itself a little bit. And bone broth is a great source of doing that. And it's also super cheap, which I love. It's like not, unless, you know, it's to make it, not very much money at all. Sauerkraut, I'm also with you on the sauerkraut train. Love it. I have huge jars of it in my cupboard all the time because it's like homemade probiotic, which is just awesome. And how much does a cabbage cost you? I don't know, like 70p? You just, with a bit of sea salt in there, you're like sorted. And so I think those are some really good ways. And I'm like you, I always recommend people to go with fermented foods before just shoving in a probiotic, because again, people can sometimes treat it a bit like, you know, anything. And then just experimenting. I love what you said, experimenting with, do you feel better not eating dairy? Do you feel better not eating gluten? And everyone is different, but just, your body will tell you what feels good. And I often think we can sometimes frame going dairy-free or gluten-free as either faddy, or we can frame it as restrictive. But actually, what's restrictive about feeling freaking awesome? So I think it's all about how you approach it. I don't eat gluten. I don't eat grains either. They upset me. And only dairy I eat is butter, unless I have a flat white, which I am partial to. I have to say, I am normal and human. But it's because I feel better. So in my head, I'm not restricting and looking at bread, wishing, I wish I could eat bread. Poor me, my sad life without bread. I'm actually thinking, oh, there's some bread, they're eating it, whatever. Like, it's not even a thought process, because I feel better with the current boundaries that I have around food. And everyone has got to find out their own ones. So I think that is a really great set of recommendations. If people just have any gut health issues, whether it's something more severe like Jenna's living with, or just, you know, you're just sick of bloating, or maybe you've had IBS for ages, like those are good kind of gentle ways just to nourish everything, pretty much, actually, not just your gut.
The bones, the joints, everything, bone broth smells sweet.
Yeah, just everything. It's just awesome. Which is fun. So I think that is really, really good advice. And in terms of over the next couple of weeks, I know that you are releasing a book, which is a bit exciting. So tell us a bit about that.
It's called Managing IBD. So it's specifically for those with inflammatory bowel disease, which is Crohn's disease like myself, or ulcerative colitis. And it's basically what we talked about earlier. It's very much about self-advocacy, and it's not the kind of typical health book that people would expect in terms of, you know, it's not got recipes or anything like that. It's kind of everything that I've learned, you know, from the experience I had in China of managing the day-to-day life. And it's, you know, there are some sections on food, but more, you know, understanding food, how does food work, how do we digest it, then there's a space for them to kind of record their food diary, and then they can monitor it that way. And there's even things like, you know, visiting your doctor, a place to jot down questions, you know, being, I think my teacher background kind of came into it a bit. I want it to be kind of almost like a workbook, a little bit interactive for people to take, like we said before, taking charge of their own health in lots of different ways, exercise, sleep, even, you know, preparing if you're going traveling on holiday, what kind of things could you do? It's a little checklist, you know, have I called the travel agent? Have I spoke to the hotel and arranged a fridge so I can put my dairy-free drinks in or whatever? It's really kind of an all-round way to live life with IBD and giving people the tools to do that and kind of, again, give them control to do that, because I think that's really important.
I love that. So it's a real practical guide for anyone who's living with any kind of IBD. Perfect. So if anyone's listening that has, maybe you live, you have something like this, or maybe you have in the past, or someone in your family does, then we'll put a link on the show notes of where you can get it. And I think people can get it, is it from Amazon? Can they just search Jenna Farmer Managing IBD? I'm sure it would come up. So if you do know anyone who that would be helpful for, then make sure you grab them a copy, just as a nice little present to say that you love them and care about their health. And
there's things in there, you know, about talking to your family and, you know, having support from them, ways to kind of have conversations with people you work with. So I think it's also a nice thing, you know, maybe if you've got a family, you're a family member and you're caring for somebody living with it, or you know someone with it, it kind of encourages conversations and openness and having a dialogue rather than kind of ignoring it and not being able to kind of deal with it and that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a really helpful tool. I always get questions from people like, well, you know, say gluten, for example, because it's an easy one to use. I feel better not eating gluten, but what, my family make a fuss about it, or how do I tell them? I feel bad. What about if I go on holiday? What about on the plane? Like all of these different things. And I think it is an important part. And so I think having a bit of a guide through that is really, really helpful, because it is, you just often communicate things and think about a bit ahead, you know, if you go into a nice hotel, all-inclusive place, of just emailing them, phoning them, being like, hey, I'm gluten-free, what are you gonna have to offer me this week, or what, you know, whatever it is, maybe you've got certain allergies or whatever it is. It's actually just planning ahead for that. How exciting, how was the book writing process? Was it enjoyable? Was it like painful?
It was fairly straightforward. I felt like, I don't know if you've ever watched Gilmore Girls, but when she writes the book, and she said it was like the book she was meant to write, because it kind of comes out of her really easily. And like, that's how I kind of felt with this book, because I just felt like it's everything that I always have conversations with people about, and everything that I'm kind of living and everything that I'm blogging about. So, I mean, getting those last kind of 5,000 words was kind of a bit like a push to get it done, but on the whole it felt like the right fit. It didn't really feel like a forced thing. It felt like I was just chatting and writing it down, but it will only feel real, I think, when people are actually buying it. At the moment I felt like I was just typing on my computer and it was fairly straightforward. I think if it's a topic that you kind of meant to write about, it just kind of flow and come out.
Love it. That's exciting.
Yeah, really exciting.
Okay, so to wrap things up, Jenna, tell us, what is your most favourite way to treat yourself?
A hot bath, I think. A good book. A hot bath, using some nice bath oils, face mask on, good book, and then just curled up on the sofa with my dogs again. Sorry to talk about the dogs again. just really simple pleasures, really. And I think, because you spend so much time on a laptop or an iPhone, I try and make sure any treat does not involve those, you know, kind of completely switching off. I'm really into those stress colouring books as well at the moment. So perhaps one of those. I treated myself to some Sharpies last week. So
love it.
I know. I've got Sharpies.
Yeah, I have a huge bag of Sharpies. They're so therapeutic.
They really are.
Just writing notes.
Just the sound that they make as well, and like the when you just do, really therapeutic. So I just bought the Vogue colouring book. So Vogue colouring book, fire on, dogs next to me. That's a perfect evening, I think.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. I've tried the whole colouring book thing, and then I actually think I bought one that was just like, I don't know, for colouring book experts. It was just so intense. Like, it was like loads of tiny shapes. I think I actually need a child's colouring book. I think that was my error, because I started one and it was beautiful, but it took so long that I never finished it.
It's
so
patient.
Yeah, so I think I probably just need to steal like my niece's Peppa Pig coloring book. I'd probably find that more therapeutic and less stressful, because it's like, I need to finish this, it's not perfect. But that's so funny. Now I'm with you with the hot bath.
Yeah,
nice oils in there or Epsom salts, and just chill out, because it is, I've noticed that avoiding screen time, making sure I get good chunks of that in the day is really, really helpful, actually, just for my brain. So if any of you do work from home, or maybe you work in an office and you're in front of a computer all day, as much as I love Netflix, do make sure at some point you have some non-screen time as a way to relax, because it can really disrupt your circadian rhythm. And it's just fun to do. So thank you so much for joining us today, Jenny.
Thanks for having me.
It's been really, really helpful. If you guys listening have any questions for us, then make sure you head to our Instagram, which is Whole Healthy Live. If you have any questions for us or about anything we've covered in this topic, just head over there and ask them. Or if you have any questions that you want us to cover in a future topic, then let us know. And head to the show notes to find out more about Jenna and her book and her blog and all that sort of good stuff. And if you are wanting to join us at our mini day retreat happening in March, I think there's maybe a couple of tickets left. So there'll be links for that in the show notes. Otherwise, head to whole.com/events, and all the information will be there, and we'll be posting more information about our live weekend retreats super, super soon. Me and Laura have just been working out all the details, and it's super exciting. But have a great day, if everyone listening, and thank you for joining us. Bye.
Bye.